Welcome to Cottage Talk. I am Russ Goldman, and co-hosting today will be Reese Curtis and Mike Gregg. This is our post-match show of a 3-1 loss for Fulham against Tottenham Hotspur at Wembley Stadium on Saturday. We did our Cottage Talk full-time show actually from Wembley with Emilio and Joe, but today is our post-match show, which is a full show where we actually analyze completely the match, and the other show is our initial reaction. So we're going to spend more time talking about this. But before we do anything else, before we get into it, I have to welcome my co-host back to the show. First, Mr. Curtis, how you doing?
I'm hi, Russ. I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I am well. You looking forward to doing the show today?
I am very happy to be back. I only did a couple last year and I'm 2 in 2 weeks, so it's all good. Now I'm happy to be back and doing the show. Love talking for them, so all good.
Oh, it should be fun. Mr. Gregg, how you doing? No doom and gloom, right?
Yeah, I got a bit of stick for that yesterday, saying people who watch it on a stream don't, you know, unfollow me if you're really going to be have a go at the team. I'm looking forward to talking about the game. There's a lot of talking points.
There are.
From yesterday and from the first two games and the way things are shaping up. But no, I'm absolutely, you know, not in a doom and gloom camp at all. Looking forward to it, and still loads of positives to talk about.
There are, and obviously we're going to look at both sides of the coin. There are negatives, and there are some good negatives that we have to talk about as well. But Michael, just start with you. You were at Wembley, so just give me your overall view, your opening thoughts on the match, what you watched yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, we all knew it was going to be a tough game, and I have to admit, you know, beforehand, speaking to people, you know, it was a case of, you know, let's be realistic. If you can keep it down to 3, if we're going to lose, then, you know, we might take that. But really, I think it showed how good the top 6 teams are, Tottenham especially, obviously, and the sort of, you know, level you have to be at if you're going to be in that group. But we showed as well, you know, partly through the goal with all those passes, but in other passages of play that, you know, we held our own. And it was interesting watching the team have the ball a lot, as opposed to, you know, last year it being, you know, we were the ones who always had the ball. So that was a bit of a turnaround. But also, you know, Tottenham's pressing, how good that was, and how fit they looked as well. You know, it's different. You watch these, you know, you watch on TV. I mean, to be honest, we've been relegated for 4 years. I haven't watched an awful lot of Premier League football, but I mean, Tottenham, it just showed you the levels you've got to attain. It absolutely is. But no, it came away with thinking, okay, we've lost the first two games. We've played one of the best teams in the country and also another settled side, and we're still learning. But, you know, coming away from, in some ways, a little bit disappointed that when we got it the 1-1, we just couldn't hold on that lot long, you know, that little bit longer. And even, you know, we had chances to take the lead as well. So, disappointed, not surprised, but, you know, another step along the learning curve that we're on, really.
Okay, excellent, Mike. And we'll be breaking down that second half because Fulham did have a very good time of possession. At one point, they were controlling the play, and that was wonderful to see. And then we saw the quality of Tottenham in 3 minutes scoring 2 goals. That was the difference. But good point by you to mention. During that spell that we had a good amount of the play, we were looking good, and we had our opportunities, like you said, even to take the lead, which would have been fantastic at Wembley. All right, Reese, just your opening thoughts on what you watched. You watched it on a stream. I watched it on TV. Your thoughts?
Yeah, so similar to Gregg, really. Not all doom and gloom. There's a lot of positives to take from the match. I think we're coming up against one of the top sides in the Premier League, and it was as expected, really. I was really interested to see how Slav was going to set up. As we all know, he's quite stubborn. And before the game, I was thinking, Christ, if he steps fit to go toe-to-toe and play football with them, then we're going to be picked off, and it'll be a case of how many. As you saw when we first started, it was we backed off and Trippier was getting all the space. I was really happy to see in the second half, and enforced our game onto them a little bit. And what I was worried about Slav actually doing in the first half, we actually did in the second half, and it proved quite effective and we played quite well. I was really happy to see Anguissa start. As much as McDonald's one of my favourite players, I'm really excited about Anguissa, and I think he had a pretty good game. I was a bit disappointed to see Schürrle being dropped due to, I think he had a pretty good first half last week, but my understanding from that would be that maybe saving him for next weekend because his fitness levels aren't as good and next weekend game's much more winnable. But I think there's a lot of positives to take from the game. I think there's going to come a point where we've got to stop taking positives and start taking points, but I don't think we're anywhere near that point just yet.
Okay, very good there, my friend. I'm glad that you brought up Trippier because he had so much room and he was extremely dangerous, especially in the first half. And we'll be talking about that when we go through both halves. And that was, I think, a huge part of the first half and overall in the match was the space of Trippier. And he was a difference. And we definitely want to talk about that, why that was. But let's first, when we go through this, I like now talking about what the managers had to say. Let's start with Spurs manager Mauricio Pochettino, and here's from football.london, a quote from him, and the quote comes after a question. It was a tough game, but three goals and a switch in formation swung it for you, and these were the quotes from Pochettino. This is what he had to say, and I want to get your thoughts on it because I find them revealing. Quote, yes, we changed our formation, and you know we are so flexible in our vision about football. It was a little bit disappointed last game, and of course I told you that I want to give the opportunity to all the players who wanted to play. Today was a good opportunity to see different and use different organization, but still disappointed because, like again Newcastle, we conceded chances. Today we conceded chances. We had a different setup and different players. That speaks very highly about the team and my decisions. It's important now to improve. Of course, I am so happy with the victory and so happy because the performance was good and we fully dominated the game and we deserved the victory. I want to give the full credit to the players, but of course we need to improve. We want to challenge the big teams. I think it's a situation that we need to improve and we need to push to improve in different areas, be more clinical in front of a goal. Playing so well after 20 to 30 minutes, dominated the game and positional game. We created a lot of chances and had a lot of situations that we must or should be more aggressive and more clinical in front of goal. In these situations, in the last 15 minutes of the half, and then we cannot afford to start so sloppy in the second half. When you have three center back, two wing backs, and I think one more defensive holding midfielder in front to concede the chances we conceded, we needed to review everything and analyze and take the best decision. But it's good to start like this. I'm so happy. I'm a little bit disappointed, but I'm so happy with all the players. Look how they impacted and where. They were real impact. Dembele and, of course, Lamela, how they helped the team and increased the tempo, how they provided better organization, and that is why I'm so happy. That is what we want from our players that are outside, being focused when the manager or team needs them to be available to do. Okay. And that's the end of the quote from Mauricio Pochettino. There's a lot there, but Mike, I want to go to you because he talks about the change of formation. But I want to talk about, along with that, you have Lamela coming on, but I think the bigger difference was Moussa Dembele. We talked about this on the full-time show. That's one of the things that I got out of comments from Pochettino. He's basically talking about that. What are your thoughts about what he shared in? And then also your thoughts on Dembele's impact when he came on. Did that change the game?
Yeah, it did. I mean, it did change the game. And so there's a bit of kudos towards us that, you know, a team as good as Tottenham really got them back to 1-1 and Pochettino made a change to try and win the game. So, and we did have a bit of momentum there and Dembele coming on and them changing to like a diamond, you know, swung it in their favour, and Jokanović was trying to respond because he was bringing Johansson on, I suspect, to close Dembele down a bit more. But then, of course, they scored a goal while he was waiting to come on. So, yeah, I mean, it showed that we asked questions of Tottenham, and yes, they got the answers right yesterday. But that it, we go back to it again. It is another positive to take away that
right.
You know, we showed that we can compete. And, you know, once all the new players settle in for us, you know, we will be able to start getting some points and progressing up the league. But, yeah, I mean, Tottenham, you showed they're well-drilled. You know, it's well known they didn't buy anyone in the summer, sign anyone in the summer. They all know where players are. And as I said at the top of the show, in person, they just look so fit. I don't think any of them had an ounce of fat on them at all. I mean, they're, you know, the shirts are really tight. There's nothing hidden there. But the, you know, their energy levels was exceptional. But yeah, that change with Dembele came on, and the goal we had, that was it really.
Okay, very good. Rhys, what are your thoughts about what Pochettino had to share after the match?
Yeah, I think it was testament to how we were playing in the beginning of the second half for him to have to change it. It just goes to show their quality in depth that they can bring on players like Lamella and Dembele off the bench. And going to what Mike was talking about, their fitness. Obviously, Fulham in the past, when we come up against teams that press high, we'd have struggled in the past, or even in the Championship against the likes of Brentford.
Reading.
When we come up against team and Reading and teams who played a similar style, we do come unstuck a little bit. And I think that clearly showed in the second half against Spurs when they went up another gear. Their pressing was phenomenal. I mean, they're very well known to be a high-pressing team, but it was just a different level to anything we've come up in the last 2 years. And I think in the second half, basically, with the changes, it was what, right, we need to up again now. Fulham are starting to get a bit of a foot in the game, and they have that quality in depth, and it was a very good tactical choice to make the switch, and it just took the game back off us. I think in the preview show, when you spoke to the Spurs fan, he was saying he hoped they didn't start with three at the back because he thought it was quite defensive against like Fulham, no disrespect to ourselves.
Right.
And I think he was right, clearly, in his observations, because as soon as they switched to the back four and they flooded the midfield more, we just couldn't cope with them, and their quality really showed.
Absolutely, and I'm glad that you mentioned that, because the host of the EPL roundtable, Kevin DeVries, that's what we were talking about, and he ended up being right. We were actually messaging back and forth that our conversation kind of played out, and I totally agree with him on his assessment, because we saw this. So very good by him for mentioning that, and also for you to talking about what you saw and what Kevin actually mentioned. All right, right back to you, Rhys. Now I'm going to read a quote from Savica, also from Football Doll London, after the match. And this part of the quote is entitled, "Tough One to Take." This is obviously asked to him, and here was his response. Here's a quote from Savica, quote, "It's Premier League and everything is tough. And at the end, it's strange for us because my team made a great effort and we push hard and we are competing well. We find problems which are normal through the game. Spurs compete well and press us strong. And we didn't find, especially in the first 45 minutes, to combat. And at the end, they scored the psychological goal in a complicated moment for us. And we started the second half well. This is probably our best moment in the game. We take over the possession. We start to move the ball and create chances and score the goal. We have the opportunity to score the second too. At the end, they show the quality, and after the free kick, they score one goal, and immediately after this, score twice." And that's the quote from Savica. And over to you, Risa. You know, again, I find it interesting. He talks about things that we're already talking about, but he's talking about the psychological issue that Fulham had with the Lucas Moura goal late in the first half. You know, it's funny because Fulham came out strong in the second half, so maybe they overcame that. But I found it interesting that he mentioned that. And then, of course, we have our spell, but then their quality really came through. And I think that's where Savica's going on. Now, your thoughts about what Savica shared after the match?
Yeah, I totally agree, Russ. I think the first goal was a bit of a sucker punch, and to go in 1-0 down at halftime just a few minutes before, it showed some real good team ethic and team spirit from ourselves to come out the way we did. But then to recover from, once again, from another goal down very quickly, 3-1, was going to be very difficult for against a side like Spurs. I think even from his comments last week and this week, he's been trying to be quite realistic and maybe tone down expectations a little bit. We are playing Tottenham. We're going to play one of the best teams in the league. We had some really good moments, but ultimately their quality shined through. There are a lot of positives to take from the game, and I don't think he's too downbeat. Last year, he used to be quite critical of players sometimes, and when he was quite unhappy. But I think this year, you can see he's kind of take a different switch. He's a lot more realistic, and he's praising the players quite a lot. And he's not stupid. He knows it's going to be a very long, hard season, and games like Tottenham, if we can have good styles like we did yesterday, if we put that into games, for example, like next week, I think we'll go on to do relatively well and comfortably just be safe, which is our main aim for the year.
Okay, very good there, my friend. Mike, over to you. Thoughts on what Savica had to share? I don't know if you've watched video of his press conference. You can talk about that if you've seen it as well. If not, no worries. But what are your thoughts about what he shared after the match?
Yeah, I think he's being realistic and pretty much sums up, what we saw. We did start the second half well, and but he has made comments leading up to the game and also yesterday about, he's still working with a new bunch of players and it's going to take time. I thought, the comment about them playing together for 3 years and we've been playing together for 3 days.
Yep.
Yeah, there's an element of truth in that, definitely. It's a learning curve for him managing at this level. And I'm sure he's, finding out stuff about himself and the coaches as well as the players. I did see a comment yesterday, or the day before, have we signed too many players, which I had to giggle at, really, because Jukanović has always gone on about wanting more players and more options, and that's exactly what he's got, bar a couple
exactly.
of injuries. But it's the difference between this and the Championship, well, there's lots of differences, but one of them is while you've got less games, you have more time to work on things. So it's not relentless. It's not Saturday, then Tuesday, Saturday, Tuesday. He's now got all week again. The way we play as a team, we will only get better as players learn, what's the best foot to pass into,
right.
Where's he, that guy usually going to be? So, yeah, there's no panic required in his voice. He's always very sort of he's typical sort of almost dour self, there was nothing there to take out of it that, was controversial at all or anything like that. He's being quite honest. And go back to it, Spurs are a bloody good side.
Absolutely. And Mike, what's interesting, and I'm glad that you talked about the difference between Spurs and Fulham with the experience. You talked about Savica mentioning 3 years playing together. Well, that's a huge deal. I mean, they know each other's moves. Fulham aren't in sync yet. And that's, believe it or not, Mike, that's what's so encouraging for me. And you've already talked about it. Once these players know each other better, they're not going to get to the level of Spurs, obviously talent-wise, but they also don't have that experience of playing as long as they have. But if this is the starting point, the last two matches, you have to be encouraged that they're only going to get better because they're going to gel together.
Well, yeah, exactly. And, there's a counter-argument that we have made too many changes, and there's been a few comments online today about that. But I think you've only got to look at the level of Jean-Michel Seri and Frank, who made his debut yesterday. You can see straight away that these guys are just, as much as I love Johansson, McDonald, and other players from last year's promotion squad who still have a lot to offer, you can just see that there is that just step up in level. And, the team, if we'd kept the team together, would have still played the same way. Would they have had the quality to get those extra those extra points against the better sides in the Premier League? We'll never know now because we've made so many changes. But I've no doubt the players who have come in are really good Premier League quality. And it's just going to take time, that's all.
Okay, very good. Mike, real quick, because we have a lot to get through. Thoughts on the starting 11?
Yeah, I was a little bit – I was surprised that McDonald was dropped and also Christie. But I mean, it made sense once the game got going and I sort of understood what he was doing. I think the biggest surprise for everyone was that Cesc was on the right and Kamara on the left once we kicked off. But it was a good chance to see Menza and Marchand and Chambers again. So, yeah, I mean, but I was surprised. You know, I'm going to call him Frank when I do these shows. But I was surprised to see him play. But, you know, on performance, I wasn't in the end. He's going to be a part of that team for the rest of the season. I can see that straight away.
Okay, excellent. All right, guys, let's go through key moments in the first half. We're definitely going to talk about Trippier. I'm actually going to read a little bit from Ryan O'Donovan's article from football.london in just a bit after we go through some of the key moments, because I think this is a huge talking point that we need to go back to. But I want to start with talking about some of the moments of the first half. And Mike, I'm going to start with you. I'll go to you first, because we have to talk about how well Spurs came out. They had two excellent opportunities to score. I don't know how Moore doesn't score in the 6 minute on a header. They should have been up 1-0. And that's followed up 1 minute later, a mistake from Callum Chambers leads to Moore once again having an opportunity, thankfully saved by Fabry. So let's talk about these opening stages, these two opportunities from Spurs. Your thoughts about what was going on very early on in the match?
Yeah, it was... Well, I'd like to say the first thing I noticed and I tweeted was, you know, Cesc on the right, Kamara on the left.
Yep.
But it straight out of the gates, you could see that, you know, Spurs were right on top of us. We hardly had the ball, I think, in the first 10, 15 minutes. And yeah, the ball was going wide to Trippier all the time. And, yep, you know, Martian was stopping the ball. I do have a theory on the Kamara not coming down and getting close to Trippier type situations, which if you want to, I can go into now or later.
But, yeah, let's wait till after we go through the key moments, mate.
Sure, yeah. So it was definitely backs against the wall. And again, I tweeted something about, you know, now I know how every championship side felt last year playing us, because we just couldn't get the ball. But we survived that little, you know, that little bit. I mean, admittedly, every time they attacked, you know, you're sort of, oh God, you know, we're in a bit of trouble here. But it was a rear guard action. And I thought we did fine the first 20, 25 minutes of the game. And as the half went on, we got a lot better and showed that we could compete. You know, and Siri and Frank and Kearney in the midfield were doing okay. We just weren't getting enough into their half, you know, just build up wise in that first half hour.
Mike, what I noticed, again, I'm watching it, you're there, was the pressing from Tottenham Hotspur, where, we looked nervous. This goes back to, like I said, when we were in the championship, and they had a hard time moving the ball around. I'm sure you noticed this as well. Very early on, they're trying to play the ball off from the back, and they had nowhere to go because there were Spurs players everywhere.
Well, that is true, yeah. I mean, they're hunting packs, and, you know, I mean, that is the... Pochettino way, and it's the, you know, Man City way as well. And but to be fair, I thought, you know, once we first 10 minutes, there were a couple of goal kicks, wasn't there? And we, oh God, it doesn't look like we can get the ball out at all here. But then I thought Fabry, you know, he found Siri a few times, Kearney a few times. And so we were bypassing the back four and going straight to midfield. And that's the way to do it if you're being pressed. But yeah, the pressing Spurs did was, you know, was top notch, absolutely.
It was. All right, Reese, over to you. I'm just going to read a couple more key moments, and you can share your thoughts on them. We have to talk about the claim for a penalty in the 24th minute. Let me just say, I don't think it was, but I want your thoughts on this. They were talking about it on the broadcast that I believe at least one of the announcers thought it was. I looked at it a few times. I still don't see it. It looked like this is more to do with Harry Kane going down, but you can share your thoughts on that. And that was midway through the first half, and then a good moment from Fulham in the 28th minute. You have the shot by Kearney. And then a little bit later on, the 35th minute, you have a free kick from Christian Eriksen. Again, this shows the quality that Fulham are going up against compared to the championship. This is a very good opportunity from Christian Eriksen. And nice save by Fabry. And then in the 38th minute, you actually have another potential opportunity from Fulham with Ryan Sessegnon, but Hugo Lloris comes out and blocks that opportunity. And then, unfortunately, you have the goal in the 43rd minute from Lucas Moura that gives Spurs the lead 1-0. And so I gave you a lot there. So feel free to talk about whichever parts of these key moments I gave you, but I definitely want your thoughts on the shout for a penalty. Do you think it was?
I think on the penalty, it's going to be a 50-50, one of those where if you're the opposing fan, you think it's a penalty, and if you're the opposition, you think it's not. I think you've seen them given, but I don't think it was a stonewall penalty. If it had got given against us, it would have been soft, but I think there was grounds to give it. But I think the referee, from where he was, I don't think many refs would give it. I think the interesting thing about the Kearney shot was, for all Tottenham's dominance in the first half, and they were very dominant possession-wise, yes, I think it was actually the first time where one of the keepers really got tested.
That's
so
right.
Obviously, we were under a lot of pressure, and Trippier was swinging balls in left, right, and centre, and Le Marchand was fantastic in dealing with them. But that Kearney shot, whilst Lloris is going to save that 9 times out of 10, it was actually the first time that one of the keepers was properly tested. So I think whilst we keep focusing on how dominant Spurs were, we actually were keeping them out and dealing with the pressure quite well.
Great point.
Going on to Sessegnon's chance, it just really disappointing, really. I think for him, it was a poor touch. I think if it was the other way around and he was taking that on his left foot and going in from the left, I think it'd be a different story. His finishing on his left foot, where he's going across goal, is fantastic. And I think he's just found himself in an unusual position where he's not really used to it. It was a fantastic ball from midfield, and it's just a poor touch and a bit disappointing, but the defenders got back quite quickly. But yeah, for all Tottenham's dominance, and the free kick by Eriksen was quite a good free kick, but Fabbri comfortably saved it. And just like I said, for all their dominance, they didn't really test Fabbri massive amounts in the first half. They had a lot of the ball and they were swinging in a lot of crosses, and we were pinned back for most of the half. I think at one point we were almost playing like a back six. I'll be interested to hear Mike's theory on Kamara, because for the life of me, I could not understand what the lad was doing when Trippier was hugging the touchline.
We'll talk
on
about
his own
that in just a bit.
Entire half, and he was just tucking in. It was absolutely bizarre and I couldn't understand it. So I'll be interested on that theory. But overall, yeah, I think for their dominance, they didn't actually have much end product bar the goal from Lucas.
And listen, the goal, and this just shows the difference between, I guess you could say, the two divisions within a division, because the top six are their own. And this is high quality. I was thinking about this. This is not anything that we would see in the championship for the 4 years. This is just a different level. I'm assuming you would agree with me on that, my friend.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, goals like that, unfortunately, you just can't stop it. The ball was bouncing around. Seri was a bit slow at getting out, but I wouldn't put any blame on him. And it's just that different quality on his weak foot bang. And that's what you get in the Premier League against the top six sides, that extra bit of quality that you wouldn't have found ever in the Championship, very rarely.
Okay, excellent there, my friend. All right, Mike, it's time to go to you because we have to talk about Trippier. Actually, before we do that, I want to get your thoughts. You were at Wembley. What was your reaction to the shout for a penalty? Did you get a good view of this?
Not great, but I tend to agree. It wasn't, you might have seen the penalty given, you might not have done it. There was no real reaction in the stadium, to be honest. And if it had been given against you, you'd be upset. It wasn't an incident that warranted too much discussion, really. It was not like last week's, that's for sure.
Okay, excellent. All right, the Trippier situation. And I'm going to read a passage from Ryan O'Donovan's article on football.london. It is entitled, "Time to Gel, Tactical Errors, and a Positive Spell. Fulham talking points from defeat to Spurs." Now, I'm going to read from the part that he calls, "Fulham afforded Trippier too much space out wide." And this is what Ryan had to share, guys. "This was perhaps the most glaring, obvious thing the 40,000-odd people inside Wembley Stadium would have seen yesterday. Fulham were trying to defend against Spurs, would use Ryan Sessegnon and Abubakar Kamara to shift into a back six with the two wingers playing outside the fullbacks. The tactic worked on the right side with Sessegnon shifting inside Timothy Fosu-Mensa to cut out any space down that flank. But on the other side was a different story. Kamara was often caught too far forward and, as a result, allowed Trippier all the space in the world to hurt Fulham again and again. I'm not sure whether Slavisa Jokanović didn't want Kamara to track back as much as Sessegnon was, or whether he was just unable to carry out the defensive side of the game, but it was the biggest problem for Fulham throughout the game. The first goal came down the right with Trippier having way too much space to put in a cross, while Jean-Michel Seri lost his man as he ran into the box. It was a catalog of tactical errors, and it led to Fulham going a goal down. All right, Mike, I'm going to go to you. You have obviously a theory on this. What are your thoughts about what Ryan had to say about the Trippier situation, and what is your theory on the Trippier situation?
Well, I mean, I think he has a he's right about Sessegnon, but Sessegnon, I don't care what people say, you know, is a left back, has played left back. He's playing wide for us now, but so he's more defensively minded, and you know, and they snubbed out Davis for sure in that half. Yes, Trippier got the ball a lot. You know, it must have been half a dozen times in the first 20 minutes. And you could see that Kamara wasn't coming over. Now, I've seen lots of people say he was lazy or he's not defensive. And, you know, but we have seen in the past that Kamara will get back. He will get involved. He did that last week against Saha. So my theory is, and I think it's partly why Schürrle was dropped as well, is that Kamara, you know, played well in the playoff final at Wembley. We saw what he could do, you know, with his runs. And I think partly we gambled a little bit on leaving Kamara in that sort of quarter, or that third of the pitch, just inside our own half. You know, Trippier would get down to the right, maybe sort of level with the 18-yard line, and Kamara would be told to hang inside so that when the ball would come out, let's say the Marchand stopped the ball, or you know, Chambers are saying, Kamara's in that area where if we could get the ball to him, then there is only Adelwood, you know, between him and Lloris. So, you know, it'd be a case of get the ball to him, and with his pace, hopefully with Trippier still up the pitch, he could run with it or run into space. And we saw it a couple of times, especially as the half progressed. But I think that was the reason. He was playing because of his pace, the size of the pitch, or the, you know, the way it looks at Wembley, is it looks as if you've got a bigger pitch, and you know, to run onto, to play that extra man. Last week, Mitrovic was very isolated at times, and I think it was a case of let's try and get someone, you know, into those run into those channels. And Kamara is probably the best player we've got for that kind of role within the squad. So we gambled, I think, on letting Trippier get the right. Because let's be honest, Slava, he's always talking about instructions to his goalkeepers and everyone else. Does anyone really think 20 minutes into the game, if Kamara's not going over to try and stop Trippier, that Jokanović would not have read the right act to him, you know, made a change, swapped him with Cesc, substituted him or something? Because it was glaringly obvious that's, you know, Trippier was a danger player. Right. But I think that was the gamble. That's, you know, I might be completely wrong.
Mike, he is a gambler, by the way. That's the style of play.
Yeah, and I think they were just trying to counteract it. But, you know, to then, I mean, I was getting frustrated. I was shouting, you know, get him, get Mark.
It was over and over, Mike. It kept happening.
But for it to keep happening, I truly believe it was an instruction. And, okay. And yeah, because he never changed it second half either. No. You know, we kept the same way when we played. And we played better in the second half. But, yeah, so it's just a theory. Might be okay. Completely wrong. He might be a lazy sod.
All right.
Just a quick one, Russ, if I could.
Go ahead, Reese. I was just about to go back to you because I know that you were curious about this.
Yeah, I mean, just something about the playoff final. I remember when we went down to 10 men, if you remember when Villa were putting on a lot of pressure, it was actually coming down Kamara's side also, when they were going down the left. And even in the playoff final, he was struggling really hard to track their left back, and they were getting in a lot of crosses. I do agree with Mike, though. It had to have been instructed, because there's no way could a player be that naive to leave that much space consistently. I mean, once or twice you could be forgiven, but after 10th time or whatever, and with the goal, it had to have been instructed. And when we were going to talk about the managers, rating the manager, it's going to be something I mentioned that. Okay. I think Slav got it really wrong in terms of how we set up with Sessegnon Young and Kamara.
Okay, very good. Very interesting. That's why I wanted to talk about it, guys. And I'm glad that Ryan wrote about it and that gave us more thought on this that we could really get into it. Very interesting theory by Mr. Greg. It's something that was just bothering me throughout the match. Obviously, it was bothering Ryan O'Donovan from Football.London as he wrote about it, and we're talking about it. It's something that's the head-scratcher, but Mr. Greg might be on to something. Very interesting. All right, guys, let's now switch to the second half, and let's start with a good spell for Fulham. They actually came out very strong and looked like, I wouldn't say a different team, but were more on the front foot, and this was a good spell for Fulham. And, Mike, I'm going to start with you, because we have to start with just how the second half started. Fulham were definitely more aggressive and actually started to create an opportunity or two. And that starts off real early on with Mitro hitting the post in the 48th minute. What's interesting about watching him shoot is like it doesn't take much for him just to get a shot off. It does not look like he can get it off. He gets it off. It hits the post. This is followed up actually 1 minute later. There was an opportunity from Spurs from Ali that was saved by Fabri. Then we have to go right to the goal in the 52nd minute. And, Mike, I want your thoughts on the goal, because this, to me, gives me hope for the future. I look at the goal and I'm saying, if we can do this throughout the season, we're going to be fine, because this shows the potential quality Fulham have as the season progresses. If they can do something like this more often, we're going to have some good times. And I think the goal really epitomizes why I am positive moving forward. So let's talk about the good spell for Fulham, and I definitely want your thoughts on the goal in the 52nd minute, which was from Mitro, but it was actually set up from Brian and Sessegnon.
Yeah, I mean, well, we did. We came out and we were the better side probably in 15 minutes, you know, maybe. And, we hit the bar and, you know, a couple of other half chances. And then the goal, I mean, you know, you watch the there's a tweet going around which shows all 27 passes, all 11 players touched the ball. I think there was a goal last year which was very similar. We had, you know, I think it was 30 odd passes. I might be wrong, but everyone touched the ball. But that did show, you know, we're playing Tottenham, and we kept the ball. A lot of these players are new; they don't know themselves. You know, the guy next to him, he only came this week. But, you know, we stroked it around and kept our composure, went back to the keeper, started again. And, you know, patience. And, you know, led to, you know, a good cross in, good reaction by Sess, and then a good finish by Mitrovic. And then, you know, a few minutes later, he has another chance, which Kamara was involved in as well.
Yes, so, he did. I didn't mention that yet.
Yeah, but you know, there was that good 15 minutes maybe where we were on top, and we could have been 2-1 up, and you know, who knows then. And but yeah, I mean, deserved goal. And it's those kind of moments that you know, that 15 minutes, that 27 passes, the goal and the hitting the post and the second chance as well for Mitrovic. These are all things that we can take from the game and right. Say, you know, when we play other teams who aren't in that top six, you know, we should have enough in the locker to, you know, to be safe this year and do well. But it was really, really good. And, you know, Tottenham fans, I was sat at the end of a row, Tottenham fans on the other side of the, you know, the barrier to where I was. And, you know, they were worried. They were surprised that we were playing so well.
That's what Emilio said, by the way. He said the same thing, that they were getting nervous.
Yeah, there was that 20, you know, like I say, 15, 20 minutes where we were playing well. And then Pochettino makes the change by bringing on Dembele on the hour mark. So, yep.
And that changed,
you know,
it again.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, very good. Reese, over to you. I just want your thoughts. So, you know, am I making too much out of this goal as I'm trying to look forward, that this is an indicator of what we could potentially be if we can play like that against, as Mike says, not the top six? This could be an indicator of what we can be against the rest of the league.
No, absolutely not, Russ. I think when we all came up, we was all wondering how our style of football would fare in the Premier League when it come up against much better quality opposition. And we showed them that 15, 20 minutes that actually our style of football and the quality of players we brought in and that we've got, we are going to be able to play that style of football. I think against Spurs, to have a 15, 20 minute period where we literally took over the game, we were dominating them, is a massive positive. I think against the lesser teams, the teams where we think we're going to be much more competitive and hopefully win and pick up the points, I think that 20 minutes will go to 50, 60 minutes against some other teams. So I think you're absolutely not focusing on it too much. I think if that was Manchester City or even Tottenham who scored that goal, I think you would have, I think the highlighted 27 passes would have been on Match of the Day, where they do all their focus on it and all the lines. Because it was us, they wouldn't have been focused on this much. I think 27 passes, a lot of passes against a team such as Spurs, who press as high as they do, who are in your faces. But as Mike said, once Dembélé came on and Spurs changed their system, that dominance got taken away from us, and that's their quality and depth that we unfortunately don't have.
Yeah, we just don't have that. And again, very good move by Pochettino, changes the system, brings on Dembélé, and everything changes. Okay, Mike, to you. I'm going to let you talk about the later stages in this match. We've already talked about Moussa Dembélé coming on and the tactical change, and everything changed from that point on. But I want to get your thoughts about the two goals in 3 minutes' time. You have the goal by Trippier in the 74th minute, and then the goal by Kane in the 77th minute that puts the match away. And for me, these two goals just show the difference between Fulham and a team in the top six. And honestly, Spurs could be top two or top three. What are your thoughts about these two goals here, Mike?
Yeah, it's I mean, it's all from the substitution and bringing on Dembélé and the changing of the tactics. And, you know, eventually it led to the free kick. And, you know, I don't want to have a go at Fabbri. There's enough people out there doing that. But I did think he was slightly too far to the left. But, you know, this is the quality of the Premier League. You know, you've got Trippier, England International World Cup semi-final. You know, it's not like the Championship where people have a free kick and it's going to end up in row X. You know,
that's right.
This is more times than not, it's going to find a target. And, you know, it was even if Fabbri or Bettinelli or whoever was in goal, when you look at the replay of that from behind, you see it was almost inch perfect. Any goalkeeper saving that would have been world class. But yeah, it was disappointing, especially as we played so well since half time and got back into it. And the trouble was as well, as I mentioned earlier, we were trying to get Johansson on for a few minutes, and you know, he was due to come on. They get the free kick, so, you know, they had to wait. And but I think he was being brought on to, you know, do a job, literally probably on Dembélé. And and then they go and score, you know, Kane, and you look at it, it's a poor goal really. There's lots of space on his on that side, and yeah, I mean, it was poor defending as a unit and individually, I felt. But yeah, and that killed the game, really. You know, you could see us maybe getting one more goal. If it stayed at 2-1, we might have been able to get something. But 3-1, heads down and resigned to losing. And to be honest, it was a case then of, well, let's just not let it go to a 4 or 5-1 game, because there's no way it should be. Yeah.
That was my thought.
So if there's a criticism a little bit, maybe that substitutions weren't made a bit quicker once Dembélé came on. And then he made a couple at the end, which in some ways were a little bit pointless. But yeah, it was damage limitation for the last part of the game, really. And just and let's get out of there just with a 3-1 loss, really.
It's funny, Mike, because Emilio said the same thing on Cottage Talk Full Time. The heads dropped. So obviously you noticed that as well. And is that a concern for you? Because we haven't really said that much about Fulham in a while, their heads dropping. Is this just a matter of these new players and everyone coming together and learning the Premier League? Your thoughts on the heads dropping?
Well, it's for both, really. It's for fans, firstly. You know, there was a bit of resignation. Oh, yeah, we are going to lose this. For a lot of that team, you know, they weren't here last year, so they weren't on that massive run we had. And, you know, we lost last week. We've lost, you know, lost yesterday. No, I think it was a situation where you're playing one of the best teams in the league. You raise your game. You're, you're matching them from, you know, a lot of that second half, and then two goals in a couple of minutes, and it really is, you know, that just takes the stuffing out of you. And it was heads down, but it was, but they showed character then, really, in some ways, to just sort of maintain it, still do a couple of little nice moves, but you just resigned. 3-1, you couldn't see us getting two goals, so I'm not concerned about it. Obviously, you know, if a run starts where it becomes four games, then five, then six, you know, questions will be asked, you know, a lot earlier than that. But, not at the moment. I'm not concerned. Come back in a month, though, if we've lost another four games.
I hear you, Mike. Very good. I was just curious your thoughts on it, because Emilio said the same thing. And it's like, is this a concern? I hear what you're saying, right? Not right now. And again, these are all, the majority of them are new players that are not used to playing with Fulham. And obviously, no one's used to it at this point, the Premier League. And let's see how things go and see if that happens again. All right, guys, to end the show, we're going to do two things. We are going to go through the poll from Friends of Fulham, Man of the Match. We're just going to talk about that briefly, and then we'll end talking about Slavica. So let's just spend 5 minutes on each, and we'll finish up the show. Let's start off with a poll from our friends at Friends of Fulham. It had 163 votes, and I'll just read the results and just get your thoughts, and I have some comments on it as well. And the winner was Le Marchand with 86 votes, 52.8%. This was actually followed by Mitro with 27 votes at 16.6%. And after that was Anguissa with 23 votes and 14.1%. And I'll just read a few of the comments on Friends of Fulham. This is what the fans had to say on the message board, Friends of Fulham. Well, I think everyone must think the same considering the response. I, for one, went through the list and honestly could not pick out one standout above player. Joel Slover says, agree, lads did well today. Hard to pick one player as no one really stood out. Let's see what Fulham Ben had to say. He says, Maxime Le Marchand for me looks a great acquisition. And I'll just read one more. Misfit Kid says, Maxime Le Marchand. All right, Mike, to you first. Maxime Le Marchand won the poll. Both of my co-hosts on the full-time show said Mitro, so this is going against the poll. And I see many people say Le Marchand. Do you agree with the poll?
Yeah, I do. And I mean, he was, whether it was the crosses weren't good enough, but he always seemed to be kicking the ball out from a clearance or getting in the way. And, you know, he's been a bit of a, you know, surprise, really. We all saw him as a make weight in the transfer with Siri, you know, I'll buy him, get him for a little bit less. But actually, he's done really well, and he's overshadowed Chambers.
Yes.
So at the moment, when people start talking about, you know, you've got Ream and then you've got, another centre-back as well coming back, and, you know, what changes would you make? And you have to say, at the moment, Chambers would be the one to probably make way. But, Martian for me, I know some people mentioned Mitrovic. I mean, he did okay. I thought, you know, that chance at 1-1, with his left foot, maybe he could have done better.
Yeah.
Yeah. But really, you know, I thought Siri played well as well, actually, you know, some of his stuff. A guy we haven't mentioned is Mensah, who played at right back. And again, a little bit of a theory, you know, Christie's going to give you that attacking down the right, whereas I thought Mensah played very much within himself, hardly went over the halfway line. You can see him being played when we're going to be a bit more defensive. You know, he looks a solid, no fancy tricks or anything like that. I know he can play centre back as well, but yeah, he did okay. But Martian easily, you know, instead of poll, what is it, 50-odd%? Yeah. I'd have to go with that.
Okay, excellent. Over to you, Reese. Do you agree with the poll, or do you have someone else in mind?
Yeah, I disagree with the first two comments you read out. I think the standout player was Le Marchand by an absolute mile. I think I saw a stat on Twitter where he's made the most clearances out of the last two games. I think yesterday when Trippier was getting all that joy down the right, as we've spoken about, it just seemed to hit Le Marchand every time. And I don't think that's coincidence. That's positioning, and that's him getting in the right places. He also made a lot of blocks. Some of them were easy blocks, but he just seems to be in the right place at all the right times. And similar to what Mike said, really, when he joined, I think most people would have had him down as fourth choice centre back with everyone fit. And I actually think he's played himself into the team now, where he'll be picked over most people. And it'll be interesting to see, once Tim Ream and Mawson are fit and he keeps up this form, whether which one is going to go in alongside him. I think it'll be very harsh to drop him. I think other than him, everyone else had decent games, but there was no standout players. Mitro did what he does well. He held the ball up. He didn't have much support, so he won the ball quite a lot and just fouled to Tottenham, but that's because we were pegged back for most of the game. But I'm really impressed with Le Marchand. I thought he was just going to be a utility player, and for the room price of £4 million, it's standing out to be an absolute bargain on early thoughts on him.
It could end up being a great deal. I've been talking about on Cottage Talk not to sleep on Le Marchand. People are forgetting about him, and he could end up being a starting center back, so we'll have to see. All right, we only have a few minutes to go. Let's talk about rating Slavica. I'll go right back to you, Reese. You can have the honors to talk about Slavica first, and then I'll end with Mike.
I don't want to give him too much criticism because we were playing Spurs and the result was expected. I think the tactical on Sessegnon being on the right and Kamara on the left, that didn't really play out well, especially with the amount of freedom Trippier had. I think if Sessegnon was on that side, that would have been far less effective. His substitutions, it's always been everyone's been quite critical in the past of him, the substitutions. I think sometimes he's quite slow at making changes and tactical changes. As we all know, he's very stubborn. And I think things could have been changed a lot quicker than they were, especially with Sessegnon and Kamara. But it's hard to be too critical. We're playing Spurs. It was 3-1, and it was as expected. So if it was a number, I'd give him a 6 out of 10. A 5 if I was being a little bit more harsh.
Okay. Mike, I'm going to give you the final word. Rating for Slavica for this match.
Yeah, I have to agree. I think, although I have that theory about Kamara, I think it was a mistake. And, whether it was Kamara, whether it should have been Schürrle, someone should have been going out to Trippier from the start of the game. And, his substitutions, he should have responded quicker to the Dembele one. I'm still going to give him, I'll still give him 6, but... the main one was he should have looked at getting someone on Trippier earlier. Whether that was going to 3 centre backs and pushing Brian out wider, maybe that's something he should have done as well. So, and having McDonald playing, maybe that would have been easier to do. He did okay, but a learning curve for him, just as it is for the players.
Absolutely. Guys, fantastic show. This was great to talk about this match. I like doing now the post-match show the next day because we can really think about things and really analyze a little bit better instead of initially afterwards. That's why we have this initial reaction show, which is just about 15 minutes long. Mr. Greg, thank you so much for doing this tonight. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, cheers, Russ. Really enjoyed it. It's good. It's good to be talking about Premier League again. And I know we're all disappointed. I know we're disappointed with the first 2 results, but there's plenty more to come from this team because there are some quality players in there.
Absolutely.
That we brought in.
And that's the way I'm looking at it, Mike. That's why it's always great to have you on because you're very sensible in the way you look at form. Mr. Curtis, thank you for joining me tonight. Thank you for joining both of us, I should say.
No problem, Russ. Thanks for having me on again, and hopefully look forward to doing a few more shows, especially maybe some of the away ones like we've spoken about. And it was nice to finally do a show with you, Mike, and thanks for having me on once again.
Okay. Well, great show, guys, but it is time to wrap this up. For Mr. Mike Gregg and Reese Curtis, I'm Russ Goldman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk.